let's see which one of us will. Okay, the Honorable Mr. Neal will conduct your hearing, so you just hold on, sir. The next voice you hear will be the Honorable Mr. David Neal.
Yes, sir.
Okay, sir, would you state your full name and ABC number for the record, please?
Ruben Valdez Romero, 208032.
Thank you, sir. We're going to fill out on board the executive clemency this morning in reference to your community supervision revocation.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to introduce the board member that will conduct a hearing at this time. We have the Honorable Reconnoiter, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chairman, the Honorable Dale Wittenhouse, the Honorable Michael Johnson. My name is David Neal, and I'll be your hearing lead this morning. Also in the room today, we have the Honorable Mr. Turner from the Department of Corrections. He'll also represent the parole office today. Also with us, we have Ronald Washington.
Yes, Attorney Ronald Washington on behalf of Mr. Romero.
Okay, so did you have Mr. Romero, your attorney, sir, Mr. Washington?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm going to go through this, and then we'll see, you know, who's going to answer the questions, you know, between you and Mr. Romero, okay?
Very good.
Okay, so, prior to this hearing, sir, you received a notification form of ID of this hearing. Do you remember that form?
Yes.
Okay. And normally we ask if you're going to speak for yourself or hire an attorney, but you have an attorney present, so we can pass over that.
Yes, sir.
So at this time, I'm going to swear you and Mr. Turner in. And so do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or do you so affirm?
Yes, sir.
Okay, your hearing will be conducted in two phases today. In phase one, we will determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. And in phase two, we will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated.
Mr. Neal, I do swear to tell the truth and I need to make an amendment to the warrant.
Okay.
On page one, at the top, under date of offense, they have 11/27/2009. That is incorrect. It should be 3/16/2010.
What is it?
3/16/2010. Okay. Sorry about that, sir. There's a minor amendment to the warrant, just changing the date of offense listed on the warrant. Okay, so in phase one, the true allegation of the warrant that I'm going to read, it's up to you whether you'd like your attorney to speak on your behalf of this, or whether you'd like to speak for yourself in this phase.
Mr. Neal, after you...
Sir, would you step up to the podium?
That's fine.
And
Mr. Neal, based upon our protocol, we do have to swear the attorney in as well, sir.
Oh, do we?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, how do you answer to him? You solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so to help you God, or do you so firm?
I do.
Okay. Would you state your name for record then?
Yes, Attorney Ronald Washington.
Thank you, sir. And what would you like to say?
I believe you indicated you were going to give the protocol on the phase one regarding the allegations and whether you would like me to speak or would you like to defer to my client. After you read the allegations, I have met with Mr. Romero. I have some information, but to fill in some, if you require additional information, I'd like to be able to defer to Mr. Romero, if that pleases.
Okay, fine. The reading of the allegations is basically to determine whether he was delinquent and violated it. And in phase two is when we will do any long discussions on it.
Understood.
Okay.
Understood.
Okay. So, Mr. Romero, I'm going to go ahead and read the two allegations that are on your warrant. There is a police report number listed on the warrant that's involved with something that has gone on against. So you will have the option of saying whether the allegation is true, false, or you can plead the Fifth Amendment if you don't wish to make any statements about it, because it's a recorded hearing. And any information information that is divulged here could be used in a proceeding against you criminally. Okay, did you understand that, Mr. Monroe?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and read the violation then, the two violations. Allegation number one is violation of Arizona Conditional Supervision Number 6, as demonstrated by your being in possession of a firearm on or about October 2nd, 2018 in Tucson, Arizona. So is that true, false, or do you wish to plead the Fifth Amendment?
That allegation is false, and whether you require follow-up questions on that allegation, because there's still, it might say there's still a pending investigation regarding that matter, which could resolve the future charges, he would have broken his Fifth Amendment right to him.
Okay, so do you want to do it as the pleads the Fifth Amendment?
Yeah, okay, Fifth Amendment.
Okay, when we get there, we'll still be reading the allegation as listed on the warrant, the write-up on it, but we won't be asking him any questions.
Very good.
Okay, so I'll go ahead and read allegation number 2, which is a violation of Arizona Conditional Supervision Number 5, as demonstrated by your entering a residence by force or threat of force on or about October 11, 2018 in Tucson, Arizona. So again, is that true, false, or do you wish to plead the Fifth Amendment?
False. You're speaking to me, right?
Okay.
I'm sorry, Mr.
Hill? Were you speaking to me because, I don't know, I just said that was false. I don't know if he was speaking to me or you.
Mr. Romero, we both had the opportunity to speak to the panel today, and you just indicated false. I just want you to understand that when you enter false, that will allow the panel to have possible follow-up questions regarding the facts or nature of those charges for you to provide. If you choose to provide further information, you need to understand that there is still an ongoing investigation, and if those charges result in, ongoing investigation results in a future indictment, the statements that you make today can be used against you in the subsequent case. Do you understand that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So with that said, would you like to enter false as you just did already, or would you like to enter the fifth request? To remove the Fifth Amendment and request not to answer that question as you did on number 6.
It's I don't really know how to speak upon this. You know what I mean? I didn't commit no crimes. I'm just going to let you handle this, Mr. Okay. Washington.
Okay. We're going to plead the Fifth on both.
Okay, thank you, sir. Okay, so with that said, Mr. Turner, we the allegations.
Yes, sir. Allegation number 1. On 7/23/2018, Fender reported his cell phone number as being 520-389-7976. On 10/17/2018, Pima County Sheriff Detective Johnson, 5797, contacted Parole Officer Romo regarding offender Ruben Romero. Per Detective Johnson, the offender's phone, 520-389-7976, was recovered in an abandoned vehicle that had been seen leaving a recent home invasion. The Pima County Sheriff's Department obtained a warrant to search the phone. Among the photos received from that phone was one taken on 10/2/2018, showing the offender holding a subcompact assault rifle with two handguns in his belt. Follow-up to number 1. On 10/19/18, an emergency entry warrant was obtained for the offender. Offender Romero was arrested on that warrant on 10/23/2018 by the Arizona Department of Public Safety and taken to ASPC Tucson. Allegation number 2. On 10/17/2018, Pima County Sheriff Detective Johnson, 5797, contacted Parole Officer Romo regarding offender Ruben Romero. Per Detective Johnson, she had reason to believe the offender was involved in a home invasion robbery on 10/11/2018. On 10/11/2018, at approximately 22:20 hours, Pima County Sheriff deputies responded to a home invasion call. Victim 1 told police she had pulled into the driveway of her brother's residence at about 9:50 p.m. As she got out of the vehicle, she was approached by 4 Hispanic males. One held a gun to her neck and stated, "Where is he?" She did not know to whom they were referring. She was forced to enter her brother's residence and allow them an entry, leaving her four-year-old daughter in the car alone. A second male, also armed, walked into the house with her and told her to lie on the couch facing the wall. He stayed downstairs with her while the other three went upstairs. Victim 2, the homeowner, and victim 3, his girlfriend, were in bed asleep. They were woken by the suspect hitting them and asking him where's the money? We know you have the money. They were pulled out of bed and made to lay face down in the loft area of the house. Victim 1 was brought upstairs and made to lay with them as the suspects ransacked the house and broke open victim 2's gun safe. Anytime victim 2 tried to move to watch the suspects, he was hit or kicked. Victim 2 was taken downstairs and made to walk through the house to the garage, where he was able to hit the button from the garage door and the panic button for his alarm. He saw a light-colored Chevy Tahoe in the driveway that did not belong to anyone in the household. The suspects hit and kicked him and brought him back into the house. All three victims were made to lie down in the kitchen, where the suspects exited the residence. 4 rifles, 2 shotguns, 4 handguns, luggage, purses, costume, jewelry, and various other items were taken. Part of the 911 call included the information that the suspects left the scene in the light-colored, possibly silver, Chevy Tahoe that was last seen headed east. Deputy Cross number 4496 was headed to the home invasion call when he observed a vehicle matching the suspect vehicle description stopped at the light at Mission and Irvington Roads. Deputy Cross made a U-turn to get behind the Tahoe and attempt a traffic stop. The vehicle ignored the officer's attempt to pull over and quickly turned into an apartment complex. The driver of the Tahoe drove through the apartment complex and back on the Irvington Road, which is where Deputy Cross lost sight. Deputy Dobberton, number 5921, later located the vehicle abandoned at Cherry Avenue and Iowa Drive. The victim's belongings were still inside, including multiple firearms. The offender's phone was located inside the vehicle. The Tahoe's registration returned his belonging to the offender's spouse slash fiance. On 10-19-2018, Pima County Sheriff's Detective Johnson 5797 contacted Pio Romero to advise one of the victims had identified offender via photos as one of the home invaders. Detective Johnson advised she would be charging offender with armed robbery, aggravated robbery, 3 counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, 3 counts of kidnapping, and aggravated assault with serious injury. Victims 2 jaw was broken in the assault. All felonies. Follow-up to number 2, on 10-19-2018, an emergency entry warrant was obtained for the offender. Offender Romero was arrested on the warrant 10-23-18 by Arizona Department of Public Safety and taken to ASPC Tucson.
Thank you, sir. Okay, based on the fact that Mr. Romero pled Fifth Amendment, I'm going to move this forward. So, based on the information in Warrant 2018W3047, I am going to move to find that Mr. Romero was delinquent as he violated term and condition of the supervision and that he may have lapsed or not lapsed in a criminal wage or a company.
Second.
Agreed. Motion by myself. Second by Ms. Rittenhouse. Agreed by Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, and Mr. Podolis. Okay, so we're going to be moving into phase 2 in a moment, but before we do, Mr. Turner can give us some background information. So.
Yes, sir. Romero was released from ADC custody on 3-5-2018 and arrested on 10-22-2018 by Arizona Department of Public Safety on an ADC tech warrant. He was returned back to ADC on 10-22-2018. With a CSED of 9-3-2019, 0 abscondes. Current conviction, 2009, narcotic drug violation, 2 years, 6 months. 2010, commitment D, count 1, narcotic drug violation, 9 years, 3 months. 2010, commitment E, count 1, narcotic drug violation, 9 years, 3 months. Prior convictions, 2005, commitment A, count 1, assisting a criminal syndicate, lead gang, 2 years, 6 months. 2005, commitment B, count 1, flight from law vehicle, 1 year. This is his second term in AZC with a CUIR score of 4.3, mental health score of 3, substance abuse score of 3. STG information, he is a suspected member of the New Mexico Mafia of Arizona and self-admitted to being a member of the criminal street gang 10th Avenue Posse Crips. Prior terms of supervision, 2008, TIS released, arrested, and revoked by BOEC. Disciplinary is significant, but drugs, threatening with harm, promoting prison contraband, and disorderly conduct noted. After his return to custody, he received a disciplinary for refusal of a UA and was found guilty on 11/27/2018. He was produced a UA that was positive and is pending that outcome. Other arrest, 1996, assault with a deadly weapon, Arizona juvenile probation. 1999, burglary third degree, Arizona juvenile probation. 1999, simple assault, Arizona juvenile probation. 2000, burglary tool possession, Arizona juvenile probation. 2000, theft of a vehicle, Arizona juvenile probation. 2002, burglary tool possession, Arizona juvenile detention. 2006, DUI, liquor, drugs, vapors, combo, Arizona guilty, other sanctions. He has a GB score of G6B7. Status of charges, as of November 27th, charges have not been filed yet.
Thank you, sir. Okay, so the first one now that we need over a summary of his case supervision. Okay, Mr. Romero, we're going to go over the summary of case supervision. I don't believe there will be anything in here that that we'll be talking about that will be will affect your criminal case. So, but if you if I ask you a question and you feel that you shouldn't be answering it, or if your attorney just you know feels that way, just let me know and we'll move on from there.
Yes, sir.
So it shows that you were released to an approved residence with Maria Federico in Tucson. Did you stay there the entire time you were out, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And it says that you were employed by BSH Builders.
Yes, sir.
Then it looks like you worked there for a while and then you didn't, then you worked there some more.
Yes.
Okay.
They have wrote a letter too and they emailed it to my attorney, I think.
My office faxed it in. If it's not part of the file, I can have that submitted.
Well, okay, well, the verification would have got the
unemployment, yes, sir.
Okay, yeah. We usually take the word together.
Okay,
you know,
I'm not going to allow that.
Yeah, oh, no, but that's fine. If it, it's, we do like to hear that when they're released that they're working as much as they possibly can, you know, so some people go out and don't even make an effort to find a job.
Yeah, in fact, when he was doing the job, he was also paying his restitution fines to Pima County Superior Court, had a valid driver's license, and was also paying fines to Tucson City Court, for some more fines. So
All right, so on your programming, it shows that you were assigned a task for random new ways. Shows a couple of negatives in March, then April you missed one on the 26th, but on the 27th you dropped in positive for cocaine. Then in May you missed one, and a couple of days later you dropped one and you were again positive for cocaine. June you missed a couple, 11th and the 18th, the 19th. It was negative but diluted, which can come from working. It shows it looked like there might have been a second one on the 19th, but it was negative. You missed one on July 2nd. The 16th of July, it was negative but diluted. Then you had a couple of negatives, July 20th, August 14th. You missed one and a couple of them in September. But you were negative again in October, and then you missed a second one in October. So you seem to have missed quite a few UAs, sir, but then the ones that you missed in most of them, when you tested the next day, or several, you were positive for cocaine. So do you have a continuing drug problem, sir, or are you sober?
I'm sober now. At the time, yes, I relapsed, you know, and they did send me to Sagrab for the weekend, but they didn't put me in no classes there, but I would have some programs there that I would like to attend, you know, at least to, so it could benefit me, and I could still, you know, I have a pregnant fiance out there that I need to support. So I would go there and they could help with my problem that I had when I was out. You know what I mean? Take counseling classes or something.
Okay. Yeah, I remember the sanctions. It looked like they staffed for the use of alcohol, and they staffed a couple times for the use of cocaine, but they kept working with you. And then the last time that you had the cocaine was in June, and then they're not showing, other than a couple of missed tests, they're not showing any more sanctions. So,
I would have to be working so I couldn't make it in time, and while I worked, they made me drink a lot of water all the time because sometimes I'm out there in the heat.
Right.
And I gotta go, you know what I mean, like quick to go drive, and then I gotta go back to work or whatever.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times when they're reviewing the samples, there are people that drink a lot of water thinking that it's gonna wash it out of their system in an hour or something. That doesn't work. But the majority of the time, when they're not diluted to the point that they can't test them at all, the POs will work with you on it, especially if they have you drop again the next day.
Yes.
It looks like after your last cocaine in May, you had some mists, but you were negative, and even when they were diluted, you had quite a few more negatives than you had missed. So that's all pretty good.
Yeah. Also, me and I used to go all the time to my appointment to see my probation officer, my parole officer, and you know what I mean. Whenever I would keep her updated all the time on what's going on, and as far as the alcohol went, I told her I went. Like, I didn't drop dirty for that, but I confessed it to her, that I drank some alcohol, so that was written in the violation.
Okay, well, it seems that they were working on, that they were good with your explanations, and the POs generally work pretty hard to get people to lock the straight and narrow instead of sending them back to prison. So because of everything else that we have, we're not going to question you on the specifics of that. So I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions. No questions from my board members. Okay, sir, we're nearing the end of your hearing, and the board will be going into discussion shortly to make a decision. But before we go into discussion, we'd like to allow you to make a final statement if you would like. And you and your attorney can both make final statements, or just one, however you'd like to do it. So what I'm going to do, sir, is I'm going to turn it over to your attorney and then for the final statement, and he can decide between you and him, you can decide whether you're going to make a statement or just him. Okay?
Mr. Turner.
Yes, sir, I just wanted to give some insight on the UA and diluted. Upon intake, offenders are given direct instructions on how not to provide a diluted UA. They are directed not to drink more than 16 to 20 ounces of fluids 2 hours prior to submitting a UA to ensure that they don't get it diluted. They're also given multiple areas to drop a UA because some of those areas are open until 9 o'clock at night. Also, just a reminder for the record that the offender is pending disciplinary in DOC for a positive UA that was taken on 11/27/2018.
Thank you, sir. Okay, Mr. Washington.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. I'll keep it pretty brief. Mr. Romero was out on community supervision, obviously, and while he was out, he was working. He had zero days of understanding. He was staying in good contact with his PO. We have addressed the diluted and negative UAs. However, we know over time, when he did drop, there were some indicating that there was positive UAs, but after some deleted and missing some, subsequent results show that he was negative. He did indicate at home that he did drink alcohol and that he had consumed cocaine. However, he does not feel as though he is addicted to the cocaine, but is he is amenable to treatment programs. During when he was taken back in on the warrant for the alleged suspicion of home invasion and weapons misconduct that he pled the fifth on regarding further information, I need the panel to understand that when he went back in on, what is this, October 22nd of this year, he had been vocal in the prison about inmate integration, where basically all races should just come together and not have to be adverse to diversity, if you will. Obviously, that is still not well received and is a new topic that some would be remiss to try to address in the prison, given the culture there. He was requested to, he was accosted actually, and requested to join a certain faction gang in the prison at that time when he went back in. He refused to do that and participate in further gang activity, and he was assaulted severely to the point where he was not taken to the infirmary on campus. He was had to be transported to an outside hospital in Tucson. I've spoken to him a couple times and interviewed him actually this Monday. He's a different man. He suffered a traumatic brain injury. He's got numerous staples in the back of his head still present. He's got, he had 20 stitches on the front left of his eyebrow and surrounding orbital. He's speech impaired. He speaks slower than the last time I've spoken with him. There is definitely some short-term memory loss from the injuries he suffered as a result of that severe beating that he took for refusal to participate in gang activity and being vocal about inmate integration. I just wanted that to be made part of the record when you were considering your whether revocation or release back to community supervision. He's cognizant of these new charges. Obviously, they were not discussed for based on his constitutional rights and my advice. But what needs to be understood is that the man was working. He was paying his fines. He was living with his fiancée, for example, Mariah. They're pregnant. Everything was on the up and up. Albeit we've got the negatives, the deluded, and subsequent positives, deluded, and subsequent negative drops. He is requesting to be released on community service, back on community service. He will be done, I believe, in mid-September of 2019. I know this is a very, very tough sale, given the new information provided by your clerk. But I wanted that information to be provided on the record so that you can have both sides when you're making your determination. I will now refer quickly to Mr. Romero. If there's anything else you'd like to add, Ruben?
Yes. As far as the UA, that was on the 11/27. That was before that. When in here, you know, sometimes when something like that happens, you know, they would inject you with stuff or put drugs in your mouth. So when you go to the hole or something, you know, that's a way for them to say you're in a protective custody when you come out, or this is the only write-up you got, or stuff like that, you know what I mean? And that actually, what I was found, I seen a disciplinary sergeant, I haven't seen a captain on that, and then I don't know what happened to me, because I was unconscious, knocked out, and also at the hospital, they had injected me with, which I think is morphine or some kind of, you know. So that also came up dirty for the UA. So I don't know exactly what's going on or what I came up dirty for exactly, but I have seen a sergeant and I have spoke to her, or she was a counselor or something, but she referred me to the disciplinary captain that I haven't seen yet, so I haven't been found guilty or nothing for that, you know what I mean? And that was actually taken, that was on the 27th, and that was around, like, I think it was like the 5th or something that I got hospitalized or something. So as soon as I came back from the hospital, that's when they did a urinalysis.
Okay, thank you, sir. The board will be going into discussion now. We'll be talking amongst ourselves. You may think we're addressing you, sir, but we won't be. But we stay on the phone, just remain silent. You can hear the entire conversation, and once we've made a decision, I'll get back to you. Okay, sir?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, the board is now in discussion. Well, it sounds like Mr. Romero had some problems when he was returned to prison. That's very, very regretful, and it does happen, but it is, it shouldn't happen. It is regretful when it does. But that part of the issue is after the circumstances that brought the warrant to light in the first place. The appeals were working with him, and it seemed like he was getting past his drug problem. But based on all the information that was received from Pima County Sheriff's Office and all the circumstances involved with the two allegations of the woman, I know we haven't heard from Mr. Romero, and I don't really expect him to give us any information, but I would say based even if we say allegation two is still based on alleged charges and everything, the fact that there was a picture in his phone of him in possession of firearms.
We cannot.
Well, no, it's, I mean, if the picture was...
he's pleaded the fifth. We better be careful there.
Okay, well, so anyway, basically...
We have a problem with repeating of the allegation.
Right, it's... What I'm saying is the allegations are made, and that's what we have to have as far as information to go on. And it's not any kind of a trial or conviction. The board does not have those kind of authorities. And our decision, whether he was delinquent or not, is based on many factors involved. And all the appeals were working with him. He used alcohol and cocaine were both violations of his probate or his community supervision terms. Well, at this point in time, I don't see Mr. Romero as a good candidate for return to community supervision. But I want to listen to discussion from my fellow board members.
Yeah, I agree.
Probably right. Okay. All right, so based on the information in warrant 2018-3047 and the information from the Department of Corrections, I'm going to move to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Romero, as he was delinquent, violated terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse in a criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree.
Agree.
Okay.
Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Canones, agreed by Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, and Mr. Rittenhouse. To Mr. Romero, the board has voted to revoke the committee's supervision at this time. However, the paperwork we have says you're scheduled to be released in September 3rd of 2019. And the other allegations are all still in process, and we have no idea what the outcome is going to be. We do wish you the best of luck.
Is there any way you guys can send me to a program like SACRA or something?
Even if the board had voted to return me to committee supervision, we have no authority to place you anywhere. It's completely up to the prayer office. And a lot of times placement has to do with availability of beds. But I would suggest that you talk to your CO3 and get whatever program you possibly can there, but especially if you go into the 12-step program, they not only help with addictions, but they can help with helping you get your mind straight so that you can be a productive citizen and not get in more trouble, okay, sir? You understand?
Well, is there what you guys can reconsider?
I don't think that they've made a decision regarding, looking like this, the fact that we've got the pending, we're resolving a new case.
So I have a pending case?
Well, there is information, the allegations that were made, that we put the fifth on, is information that is still undergoing investigation through the Pima County Sheriff's Office and or the Pima County Attorney's Office.
Yeah, but I don't have no new charges or nothing.
Not at this point.
Why shouldn't,
We have no control over that, sir, and we don't know whether those charges will ever be filed or not. But because of that possibility was there, is why we offered you the opportunity to plead the fifth, which your attorney recommended. But for your community supervision revocation, the board has voted to revoke it, so you have to stay incarcerated. And what I was saying, that your scheduled release is September 3rd of 2019. Other than that, we have no control and no knowledge of what may happen with the other charges. So in the meantime, while you're incarcerated, try to get some of the 12-step programming in and any other available programming for substance abuse, and see if you can get things in order. So when you are released, you can go back out there with your fiance and have a happy life without getting in trouble again. Okay, so this will be your hearing, sir, and thank you for appearing. And if you would put the CO3 back on the phone.
There ain't no CO3, there's nobody in here. It's just me, I answered the phone myself.
Okay, well, it must be around somewhere, so, but we're finished with the hearing, and if you would see if you can find the CO3, please.